Guitar prodigy Julian Lage melds blues, classical, folk, and jazz influences to craft his unique sound. The young artist emerged on the music scene 13 years ago. In 2009, at the age of 21, Lage released the album Sounding Point, which received a Grammy nomination for Best Contemporary Jazz Album. On Saturday night, the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville will present two performances by the Julian Lage Group. Lage's second album, titled Gladwell, is scheduled to be released next month. Last week, Robert Ginsberg, host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz, spoke to Lage about his new record.
From what I've read, it sounds as if you are encouraging listeners to this music to explore it almost as if they were exploring geography or an unfamiliar town or a village.
And yeah.
And there's an architectural element to how it's constructed. I wonder, what were your desires in taking this approach? And maybe you can clarify that a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I have a group, and we set out to make a record about, I don't know, maybe last summer was kind of when we began the process. And we tried on a lot of different hats. You know, we thought about it, like, well, let's just get the best songs we've been doing over the last 2 years of touring and record those. And then we even would make demos of this music. And it was all really good, but it was lacking this kind of creative spark that I think my band really enjoys a lot. In live performance, a lot of times we'll take tunes that we've, you know, been playing a lot, and like most jazz musicians, improvise with them, but change the form constantly. We kind of let ourselves get get kind of stuck in a way. You know, we find an element or four bars that we think is really beautiful, and we'll just stay there and let it evolve, and maybe a new song comes out. So there's this kind of rapport that the band has that I felt was missing when we just did, you know, good song after good song. I mean, good by our standards, where we say, yeah, that sounds like a, you know, we'll put that on a record. It didn't have that vulnerability and that fearlessness that I think we had experienced live. So this kind of set us off on a bit of a tangent. And the question became, you know, what does 70 minutes of music sound like? Studied this and we played with it, and I think the fundamental thing that kept coming back was that anything that has a storyline or a through line holds up really well. You know, kind of doesn't matter what you do with the note choices always, as much as how clear is your overall intention, where are you going, where's the beginning, middle, and end, and, you know, fundamental musical elements. So from that perspective, we started with this idea of a town called Gladwell. And Gladwell was something that just kind of came to my mind a while, maybe a year or two ago. And it's very esoteric in a certain sense, because I don't know where it comes from, probably a mishmash of different things I've read or heard about or seen in movies. But essentially, it's a town that existed a long time ago, well forgotten, no one knows about it. And the idea was, what if you make a record that's basically a sonic blueprint that, you know, we have to tell the listeners that there's this place that was actually really special, but there's no documentation. So we're going to kind of tell you about it. We're going to have a song that describes the journey into the town, you know, including, you know, the person you meet at the front, the gatekeeper. It tells you where people hang out at the bars. It tells you about where people live. It tells you about where people might go to the spiritual center of the town, whether it be religious or otherwise, but kind of a sacred place. So it really represented a barometer, and boy, did it focused our attentions like crazy. And it made the recording process very fun. I mean, it's a very quick record to make, in a sense. But that was deliberate. We went in for 2 days, and we just said, let's just press record and play and experiment. And that's how we recorded it, too. We would do, like, one song and then say, okay, we literally say, now where are we? Okay, I feel like we're kind of near where people live now. Okay, let's play music that sounds like that. And it might have been a song that was predetermined for that location. It might have been free. It didn't matter. We just wanted to kind of tell the story whatever ways we could. We have a band that is a bit eclectic, you know, with cello, saxophone, guitar, bass, and percussion. And the cellist is from a primarily classical background. I'm primarily from a jazz background. Everyone's from different places. And the pursuit for us was, well, what does this band do that's great, that's unique to this band? And that was an interesting question to ask. It's not the same as, what's your wildest musical dream? What do you want to happen? It's kind of like, how do you honor the people that are in your band and their strengths? And amazingly, a storyline was something that wasn't personal. It wasn't about me. It was this auxiliary thing that we could devote our energies to.
It's a reality you all. It's a reality you all created, it sounds like.
Exactly. I think that's kind of what a band is. I mean, a band is kind of like a group of native people to a certain, you know, area or concept, and they speak a language that's pretty unique, and maybe to a listener it's not always clear what language they're speaking, but it seems like the group knows what's happening. And I don't know, there's something kind of fascinating about putting that on display.
Well, besides the ensemble work on this CD, you actually accompany yourself. You do some overdubbing solo work. And you know, I'm curious, you kind of talked about the dynamic of playing within the context of these other musicians and their personalities and their energy. I wonder, do you find that you can surprise yourself with your own playing as you might be surprised by a bandmate when you overdub?
That's a great question. You can. It's a different quality of surprise, but it's
like, can you tickle yourself?
Yeah, you can. You can. Oh my God, that was. You either love it or, you know, sometimes you're like, that was a terrible decision. But if that's the case, you know immediately how to rectify it because you know the way you think. You know, and for these pieces you're describing, I had access to this beautiful old Martin from the 20s. This great guitar that I've always loved, and the truth is, I never played it much, as it was for friends. But I said, let me bring it into the studio without having any experience on it and just improvise kind of four songs. I'm going to improvise four songs. And the way I did it was I spent years practicing with timers because I always like chronology and getting used to what music feels like. What does 2 minutes of time feel like? What are the ways that can manifest and so on? So I did just that. I set a timer for 2 minutes, and I would improvise a piece on this new guitar. And what's cool is that the guitar is surprising me, too, because it's not like something I'm familiar with. You know, this note sounds different than my other one, or this D string really resonates well, but the C sharp isn't so great. You know, like all these things are kind of appearing as the tape is rolling. And then without any real break, we would roll the tape again, and I would record another 2 minutes on top of it. And it's that first layer and that immediacy where you're kind of like, you half remember what you just played, but you don't know when things happened. You know, you're kind of like, okay, there should be a this chord coming and there should be that. And so it's great. And then I did that. As soon as the second layer was done, I would immediately do a third layer. And that was really cool because now I'm kind of in third person and I'm looking objectively at these two tracks that are pretty cohesive. And then I get to just comment, you know, and say, oh, I like this, or let me enhance this. Or now I know because I've heard it twice that this chord is where I end. And so we did this four times, and I personally love that experience so much because it does show a personal dialogue, kind of like you're talking to yourself, a little bit crazy, a little bit all over the place. But somehow it's born out of the same creative motivation. And that's the glue that holds together this kind of chaos. And I love it. I really love it.
It also seems like it would be a very interesting exercise in timing and density and taste and
That's all exposed. It's especially density, because it is a bit crazy to just play and play and play, you know, on top of yourself. But you can kind of catch these beautiful moments where only you would have known this was coming up. You know, it's very personal. And I originally had intended for everyone in the band to do it, actually. Just kind of like everyone introducing themselves to themselves. And we just, because of time, we never got to.
Well, there will be more time.
There will be more time, yes. Absolutely.